chapter or verse or something that we've really enjoyed. So whoever's preaching, our hope is that, you know, something we've been reading in our own personal devotions or something that's just stuck with us over our faith journey, that we'd be able to share that in a different way over the summer season. And so for me, one of my favorite New Testament books is the book of Philippians. And it's one of those things that God has just used over and over again. And so I have three Sundays left to share God's word with you here at Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church, which is hard to believe after 14 years, but three left. And so I want to share three messages from my favorite book of the New Testament, the book of Philippians. And so let me pray for us, and then we'll look at this together. Father, thank you for your word. And Father, I thank you that you want your word to make its way deeper into our lives. Your word is living and active. Lord, it pierces the soul. It goes deep into us, Lord, and it changes us. And we just welcome you to do that. We thank you for the ways you've already been doing that in our lives. And God, I thank you for the book of Philippians in my own life. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that as we look at Philippians together, that you will, with your full authority, we acknowledge that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the author of life. You're the Prince of Peace. And so, Jesus, I'm asking that you will shepherd us through your word now. Fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we might be able to hear you. We pray, Lord, that you take full authority over this place and allow us to hear from what you want to share with us. Thank you, Lord, for the absolute authority that your word has, that it's so strong and powerful. And we just cling to that truth and that reality today. And we welcome you to lead us and guide us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at Philippians, we're going to be looking at chapter 1 today, chapter 3 next week, and chapter 4. So we're going to miss one in there. I apologize for that. I can't preach all of them, but I'm going to pull some highlights out of my favorite book of the Bible with you this time around, and I'm excited to do that. And as I think about that this morning, I have a question for you. Have you ever been overshadowed by someone or something? When you think of the word overshadowed, what would that bring up in your mind or your heart? Maybe it's a person. Maybe in your family, as you've been growing up, there was maybe the middle, or maybe the oldest, but you know the youngest was the overshadowing one. Or maybe there was somebody like your mom kind of always took center stage in your family or something. Or maybe at work, there's somebody that's there or somebody that's gone and been there before you, and they just kind of, whatever they do, sort of, you get measured against what they've done, right? Have you ever been in that situation where someone is overshadowing you? Or maybe it's a person in your life that there's a relationship that's gone sour, it's gone sideways, and that whole thing seems to be overshadowing what's going on in you today. Or maybe it's something. Over the years, as I've shared with you about my own life, the impact of my parents' divorce has played itself out over the years and overshadowed in different ways. How I treated my younger brother and the shame that I carried for that. Shame in my own life overshadowed so much of who I am. And Jesus has been giving me freedom for that, and I praise him for that. When my stepmom passed away from cancer, her death overshadowed so many things. And so you might say to me if I ask you, no, I'm good. But functionally, deep down underneath the surface, there's something that's actually overshadowing everything else. And that's just part of being a human being. We can't outrun our past. We can't outrun the pain that we face. We can't outrun our own sin. We can't outrun those things. We can't outrun the experiences that we've gone through. And so it's so often that the case is things are, in fact, overshadowing us. But that's not the end of the story. Praise God, that's not the end of the story. You see, you and I were meant to be overshadowed by Jesus. More than anything that may have come up in that thought of overshadowing, you and I were meant to be overshadowed by Jesus. In fact, whether you accept it or not, all of history is overshadowed by him. All of reality is overshadowed by him. All of space and time are little critters and creatures are overshadowed by Jesus. And you have an opportunity today, again, to hear from God's word, to help us orient ourselves on what is real, what is true, and to realize we're meant in a fresh and new way to be overshadowed by him and experience that in new ways today. We're meant to have joy, confidence, and dynamic enjoyment in that overshadowing. Typically, overshadow is a negative connotation. But friends, I want you to know that this is a overshadowing that is amazing and wonderful and dynamic, and you can have confidence in it and joy and peace and mercy because of the overshadowing of Jesus. And I've never really seen this before, so I'm thankful that I got a chance to share from my favorite book with you and did some study and prayer for today. Because I was going to go in a different direction, but as I studied, as I prayed, as I thought of one of the last messages that I got a chance to share here at Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church, God showed me some new things here, and so I'm so grateful for that. Let's look at Philippians 1, chapter 3, Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. It's in your bulletin. If you have it on your phone, or feel free, please take a Bible. I want you to have God's word. And as I think of myself wrapping up my time here as a pastor at Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church, this is one of those passages that I just want to share with you. And I pray it for you. And my heart is definitely the heart of Paul in the little way that I can do that for you here at Fort Saskatchewan Alliance Church. Let me share it and then we'll unpack it a bit more together. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Pause there for a second. Paul sounds really happy. He sounds really grateful. He sounds really excited and enthusiastic. Pay attention to the tone here of this passage because Paul is in fact in prison. Falsely accused, brutalized, and sent off. What would your tone, what would your attitude, how would you perceive these slights if you're in the same circumstance? See, what's so amazing about the book of Philippians is that this is where he is physically. But his heart, his life, his mind is on something completely different. And without actually knowing that he's in prison, he tells us later in chapter 1, this tone and this exuberance, we wouldn't know from these first few words here in this letter. Always thanking, always joyful, every prayer, remembering. There's this effervescence about him. Look at verse 6, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment, there it is, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. So I just want to unpack this a little bit for you. See, Paul can be in prison, be falsely accused, be far from his friends, be alone in this situation. And he can speak this way by the power of the Holy Spirit working in his life because Jesus is the source that overshadows everything. You know, on a hot day, when you find some shade and the temperature goes like down 10 degrees, just like that, doesn't that feel good? Friends, Paul's living in that shadow, this merciful, wonderful shadow. Jesus overshadows everything. Jesus overshadows everything. And not just when Paul wrote this letter, but right now. This book is opening us up to the way it really is so that you and I can see that Jesus overshadows everything. And then you and I, as real people right here, right now, have to live in response to that. What are we going to do with that? It is true, but what are we going to do with that? Well, I want you to have joy in that today. I want you to rejoice in Jesus, our source. Friends, your circumstance, whatever it is that might be overshadowing you in any way, shape, or form today, is not greater than Jesus, the source. He is saying, I am faithful, I am true, I am redeemer, I am deliverer, and I am coming again. And it cannot be stopped. It is a guarantee from God that that's who he is. And that's the way it is. So whatever might be overshadowing you, compare it to the reality that Jesus is alive and that Jesus is coming again. And rejoice in that. You may not feel like rejoicing in that, but it's true whether you feel it or not. Rejoice. Jesus is alive and Jesus is coming again. Have joy in that. Secondly, have confidence. Realize that he's a sustaining source. Now, if I could pick my favorite verse within my favorite book, one of them would certainly be verse 6. Look at it with me again. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. There it is again, at the day of Jesus Christ. Where's your confidence today? See, I want you to have confidence, not in yourself, not in your circumstances. Paul's not having confidence per se in the Philippian church and the people there. He's not having confidence in himself locked up in a prison cell. He has confidence in Christ. If he said, if he saved you, if he's changing you, if he's healing you, if he's helping you, he's going to go all the way. He's that faithful. He is that strong. He is that able. Do you believe that today? Do you have confidence in who Jesus is? That so long before he was predicted to come, God was on the move, and then Jesus showed up and he's alive and he's beaten death. He's beaten sin. He's come out from the grave and he's gone into heaven. And right now, as we speak, literally as we speak, he is on the Father. He is seated by the Father. And he is working things out to work your life and work your situation and work your heart, work your circumstance to be conformed into his will and his ways. Do you have confidence in that today? Where's your confidence? How are you being sustained today? Where you're placing that need for sustenance for your soul and your life. Friends, it's meant to come from the source, Jesus, the overshadowing one. Because he has lived and died and risen, and he is alive right now, working, seated at the right hand of the Father, working things out, getting things ready because he's coming again. He is the sustaining source. Will you put your hope and faith in that sustaining source? I mean, this is an amazing verse. Meditate on it. Hold on to it. Read it and read it and reread it. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. Now, I know I can procrastinate. And I love to start projects, but most of them never get finished. Friends, this is not the way of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Have confidence in him today. Thirdly, see the dynamic that he is asking and praying for. If verse 6 is one of my favorites, my second favorite is verse 9. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. So he says abound, and then he says more and more. So that's a lot. But not just love, like you feel more love, you feel more love. But it has knowledge and all discernment. Your love is meant to have layers and contours and understanding, where you actually begin to know yourself and you begin to know and understand who God is, and you know and understand what human beings are like and what situations work themselves out at. To add wisdom as you grow in knowledge. That you have a complex, dynamic, growing love for God, for who you are and for who others are. It's not enough to just say, I love you. That's good. That's good. Don't get me wrong. But to love well means that we go into a dynamic relationship with God and we begin to add layers in understanding and knowledge. One of the best ways to do that is to gain the knowledge of the Word. Get into the Bible. I've been trying to read Philippians throughout my week, just reading it and rereading it and having it going over my mind. How are you growing in a dynamic, increasing complexity of what it means to love other people? See, that matters to God because he wants you to be fruitful as well. He wants, on the day of Christ Jesus, for him to see that your life has borne fruit. Not that you just got saved and loved God and loved others, but that there's fruit born out of your life. That your life actually impacts and feeds and helps other people. It changes, and as you choose things, it changes other people's lives for eternity. Your heart changes. And there's more fruit born out of your life. Do you believe that today? There's a call for a dynamic love relationship with God. And the fourth thing is to enjoy. Enjoy this life. Orienting it all around. Look at verse 10. So that you may approve of what is excellent and be pure and blameless. On the day of Christ Jesus. We're meant to actually orient every single day, every single moment on the fact and the reality that Jesus is coming again. Just as Pastor Joe is sharing with our kids about if somebody's coming, will you be ready? And that determines, if you've only got an hour, that determines your decisions in that hour, doesn't it? We don't know the day or the hour that he's coming, but the guarantee is that he's coming. Therefore, we are meant to orient every day on that. That Jesus Christ is coming again. Therefore, it matters how we speak. It matters what we do with our anger. It matters what we do with lust and money and decisions. What we actually say to people or think about people needs to be oriented around the day of Jesus Christ. Because the reality is, when he comes back, everything will be laid bare. All of creation for all of history will be exposed. No more hiding, no more running, no more pretending. And it can be a great day of joy, but it's also meant to correct us and orient us and make those decisions different here and now, because that day is coming. And so even Paul in a prison cell, even he goes on to tell us that people are fighting and nasty to each other in the Philippian church. And there's probably people just slandering him because he's in prison. What kind of servant are you of Jesus locked up in a prison? That's not a good pastor. You don't know what you're doing. He's even thankful for those folks because he talks about working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And that as they poke and prod him, he knows he's going on his knees and he knows that the day of Jesus is coming, and therefore he's going to apply an attitude towards them and towards everybody and towards what he says and thinks and feels and what's going on in his heart. Because one day Jesus is going to come back and he's going to expose everything. But we're actually going to see his face as well. This is amazing. Every single human being will come face to face with Jesus Christ. And we sang about it. There will be glorious, endless, beautiful, amazing things. But there will also be accountability. Awesomeness and accountability. And so that's meant to, in the here and now, on a hot Sunday morning in July in Fort Saskatchewan, make all of the difference in your life and in my life and how we live this life. Because we're actually oriented on this great guarantee. Imagine living in the light of the day of Jesus. See, I love what Paul says about having affection for people and wanting their love to grow. I love what he says there, that God is so faithful and we can have confidence. But this time around, as I studied it, there's these huge, important bookends, the day of the Lord. That's why those other things mean something, because the day of the Lord is coming. So, friends, what would it look like if you took another step in living in the light of that today? If you knew he was coming in half an hour before you get your lunch in, what would you do? What would you change? What would you say? Who would you call? Who would you text? Who would you call and spend time with? What would you do? He is coming. We will all see him face to face. And we want it to be a joyous excitement, but we also want it to help us make the right decisions to honor him in the here and in the now. Let's pray together.